Football Friday.
A play, Jaren Mitchell.
Oh my God.
An acrobatic catch.
Still gotta keep improving as we get this bye week.
Now, here's Brady Hall.
Football Friday. Let's get it rocking. Feeling great about some of the games this week. There's a big one tonight. Talking about Mountain West Conference, Utah State and BYU. That is my game. I'm looking forward to that one to start the weekend off. I love when they just throw in a really hot Friday night football game, too. Last Friday night ended up being pretty good, too. Fresno State and UNLV. Thought that was going to be a blowout, although I did pick UNLV to cover. Not on the air, but I did later. Nobody knew about it. So that was a fun one. This is the big weekend for Denver. They got through that first portion of their schedule. You know, we said it all off season. We said it into the preseason, looking at that schedule, the Giants, the Jags, and the Jets. And we said, the pressure is on Vic Fangio. He has to win these games. He was completely defeated in all of September in his first two seasons with Denver. So that was there was pressure there, plus going up against projected bad teams. Plus the fact that you looked at the rest of the schedule after the fact with Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Vegas, Cleveland, now Washington, Dallas. I mean, suddenly those games don't look like gimmies at this stage. Washington's defense is pretty darn good. So that was important. So the first test, the first challenge, so to speak, for the Broncos was to beat those three teams, and they did it. Now they're going up against this Baltimore Ravens team. That's 2-1 on the season. They're just trying to get it right. They're trying to figure it out. I mean, they had that crazy game last week where they probably shouldn't have won. They found a way to get down in the field and get set up for that 66-yard kick by Justin Tucker. And they were very close to beating the Ravens on that first Monday night game. So this Ravens team's good. You know, I hear people, when you're picking the Broncos, and again, there can be some realistic reasons why you would pick the Broncos to win this game at home, obviously being number one. But my questions are, my fears are, when do you stop saying next man up for Denver? Now, next man up worked against the Giants, the Jags, and the Jets, because those aren't very good teams. You can beat them, probably not at your best, but the injuries are really adding up. And, you know, what's the status, at least at this point, with Graham Glasgow and Dalton Reisner? You know, I mean, there's a lot of question marks surrounding this team as far as the injuries go. And, yeah, you should definitely be concerned when you look forward to it or when you're going forward to this game. Then you hear this morning that Melvin Gordon is listed as questionable. Graham Glasgow still listed as questionable. Dalton Reisner listed as questionable. Obviously, Bradley Chubb is out. Obviously, Jerry Jeudy, K.J. Hamler, Josie Jewell. Those are all pretty good, Darby. Those are all big names, and you start to wonder, okay, when does that start rearing its ugly head at the Broncos? And it always floors me at this when you have not just one big injury, because I do think teams can weather, you know, like you look at Christian McCaffrey with the Panthers, that's a big injury, but can they weather the storm? Maybe. But when you start adding 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 pieces, both on the offense, you know, a couple on the offensive side, a couple on the defensive side. It always drives me a little batty when I just hear people say, hey, you know what? They'll be fine. Next man up. They've got to get it from this guy. And maybe that can work with one or two guys. But you're asking, that's a lot of next man's up. You know, that offensive line, if Glasgow and Reisner are both out, that offensive line is really shaky. Chubb out, Malik Reed, you're asking a lot of. Yeah, I get that Patrick Surtain at the cornerback position has been fantastic, but then that falls down when you're in your dime, right? That's when you start to see. It's kind of like I always used to say with the Nuggets. Sometimes when you see the starter go down, you don't feel it as much in the starting lineup because, you know, you like your 6th, 7th, 8th man coming in. You start to feel it when the bench is on there because now you got your 9th, 10th man in. For the Broncos, it's kind of that similar spot. When they're in the 3-4, you know, even in the nickel situation, you might not feel it as much. but it's going to be when they're in that dime, because that the idea when they were in the dime is like, man, you've got the best collective four cornerbacks in the game. But with Darby being out, you know, it's Kyle Fuller, it's Patrick Surtain, and it's Bryce Callahan in the nickel. Who's in the dime? And that's, you know, what does that look like? Mike Ford? You know, Kerry Vincent? Those are, I mean, it's just, you can't just go, all right, well, they'll be fine. Next man up. Well, Justin Sternad, you're really excited to see him take the next step in the middle linebacker spot, or inside, right inside linebacker, right next to Alexander Johnson. But then who's coming in for him? Micah Kizer, Baron Browning, those are the next guys up from that side. So, again, Malik Reed, well, you get Jonathan Cooper coming in, trying to make a name for himself. It's not always just the next man in, you know, the starting lineup. It starts to show up on the backup side, too. And so that's where, if you're looking at this game this weekend, you're foolish not to at least consider all the injuries that the Broncos have already had in this young season. But that aside, obviously we know that's going to be a big one. Teddy Bridgewater, a lot of pressure on him this weekend. You know, through three games, it's clear that he has shown he's the guy. He was the right man for this job going forward. Whatever you feel about Drew Locke's future as a Bronco or as a quarterback, you won these three games. And I had someone ask the question, what would their record be with Drew Locke at this stage? You know what? I could very well see it being 3-0 with Drew Locke, but it's neither here nor there. This team is built on defense, and I thought they'd be better at the run game at this stage with Gordon and Javonte Williams running the ball more. And they're not bad. They're not bad. They're just not a top 10 rushing attack right now, and I thought that would be just a little bit better. But yeah, you go to this side of it, and you're definitely, this is the test for Teddy going forward. There's going to be more, certainly in front of them, in front of him, I should say, but this team definitely has to find a way to get the run game going, in my mind, so you can make life a little bit easier for Teddy. You know, I go back to that very first game for Denver. It was against the Giants, right? And that was the touchdown pass he had to Albert Okwebanon. He rolls right. You got a defensive lineman in your face. Teddy's able to kind of keep stepping back and back and back. And the coverage breaks down on Albert O. Teddy uses kind of a stiff arm to push that lineman away and still completes that pass. I look at that play and I say, that's a great play by Teddy. That was a really atrocious defensive set, though. Like, the D lineman, what are you doing? You know, you keep trying to chase him down, and you're giving him that space to roll out right. And then whoever's guarding Albert O sees that the pass is completely broken down, yet they overcommit. Albert O catches it, rolls right around him. It's a bad sequence there. I look at that and say, will that work against Baltimore? Now, it's not like Baltimore, it's not like they're world beaters when it comes to defense. They're a middle-of-the-road defense for the most part. They're eighth against the run, but really, really, really bad against the pass. I think they're 30th right now. They're 24th overall, so they're trying to improve. And again, I don't get too crazy about defensive stats and standings and everything, or both on the offense and defense. It's over like 5 or 6 weeks in. That's when you start to see, okay, did they just have a couple of bad instances? Did they just give up? Like, if you're a good rushing attack or rushing defense team, but you just fall asleep one play and Melvin Gordon runs out and runs for 70 yards, suddenly on the stat sheet, it looks awful. But you know that, hey, you've been actually stopping a team for the run. You just fell asleep on one play. So there's a lot of those little things that can be deceptive at times. The Ravens trying to prove that they're actually a good defense. You know, Patrick Queen's a solid linebacker, 17 tackles, one sack so far. They got Derek Wolfe back in the mix. He's listed as questionable. Calais Campbell obviously is a monster. So defensively, they've got a lot to prove. On the offensive side of the ball, though, that's where they get their work done. Lamar Jackson's numbers are just crazy. Even losing running backs like they have, losing J.K. Dobbins, I mean, at the start of the season, they've been able to overcome that. Tyson Williams has 164 yards and a touchdown. They added Latavius Murray early on, and we'll see if he's going to get more and more carries as we go here. But the name of the game for the Baltimore Ravens is Lamar Jackson. 53 of 87. He's at 60.1% completion percentage, 761 yards passing. He's thrown three touchdowns to three interceptions, and he has an 86 passer rating. A couple fumbles in there, too. He's ran for 251 yards and two touchdowns. I mean, he makes this team go, and I'm amazed so far that they keep, you know, they keep this offense really rolling, and, you know, you keep waiting. You know, he's been in the league, what is this, his fourth year? People that knock his game say things, well, this isn't sustainable. He's not going to be able to run like a running back. Well, he's built like a running back. He's built differently than a lot of these quarterbacks. You know, I look at Trevor Lawrence last night, watching that game. Man, he's got to be the best slider in the game. I say that for several reasons. He's very smart about it. He doesn't take any chances, which isn't bad. I'm not, like, knocking his toughness. He's a pretty skinny dude. If he gets hit a lot, he's going to get hurt, and then your team's going to be in trouble. So it's not a selfish thing. He's just such a good slider. He's got it perfected, and he knows exactly when to go where he's maybe not going to get hurt. Lamar's built differently than him. He's built differently than Joe Burrow. He's built differently than Baker Mayfield. He's like a wide receiver running back running around with a football that can throw. He's just the way he looks. He doesn't look quite like a typical quarterback. So, I mean, yeah, those that say, ah, this isn't sustainable. Well, so far, so good. You know, you're at a spot where he continues, I believe, to prove people wrong. And that's why the Ravens have a shot each and every week in this one. So it's going to be, yes, this offense for Baltimore, they're number one in rushing, 185 yards per game. Obviously, you go with Lamar Jackson getting that chunk. But they're number four in yards per game. They're right in the middle of the road in the pass. So, again, 3 weeks in, how much do you want to put stock into those numbers? You kind of want to be careful because, again, Denver, look at their numbers. They are a tremendous defense. Right now, you know, I said this team was going to be a top five defense. 3 weeks in, they are sitting at number two behind the Carolina Panthers. They allow a 200. Look at the Panthers, though. That defense, man. They allow 191 yards per game. That's it. For the Broncos, they allow 221 yards per game. They are number three in passing yards per game and number two in rushing yards per game, allowing 59. So they are living up to those expectations. I look for them to slow down what the Ravens do. I don't think the Ravens are necessarily a world beater, but this is a completely different opponent than Denver has seen in those first 3 weeks. We're going to take a short break. I got picks coming up. We got more on Broncos-Ravens. I want your thoughts on this one. Noob says Drew Lock is so special they would have been 5-0 after three games. I agree with that math. That works out. CU's taking on USC at home this weekend. UNC's on the road against Montana State, and CSU is off. We're going to talk a little college football locally coming up next. It's Football Friday on the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Want sports from the coach? Tune in to Clark and the Coach, weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach, weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Loving what I do at Rev Chiropractic, man. They've been helping me out so much over the past 7, 8, 9 months. I started going there in January, and I'm not looking back. I go there once a week now. I ramped it up the first few months, you know, to really get my back in a good spot because my spine was just so you know, off kilter. They're helping me shift that bad boy back. It's a slower process, but that's a good thing. You know, when you go just get cracked and all that, it's nice relief for the moment, but we're not really working on the problem. At Rev Chiropractic, they're working on the problem. That's Dr. Tyler Terry, Dr. Haley Harada. Check them out. I mean, they're located right off of Highway 34 and 35th Avenue, right by Home Depot. And, you know, they've changed a lot of things for me. Go to chiropracticrev.com. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. If you're new to the show, text KFKA to that number. The Colorado Buffaloes hosting USC this weekend. This is crazy. One team's given up 27 points and 391 yards per game, USC. And the other's averaging 13.8 points and 239 yards per game, which seems higher compared to what we've seen the last 2 weeks for CU. I love this. One team gave up 45 points last week. The other scored 13. So you got a bad defense and a really bad offense. So which one of them is going to show up this weekend between USC and Colorado? The Buffs feeling the pressure. You know, man, you go 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, they duke it out with Texas A&M, and you think, wow, what's happening here? The Buffs are, you know, a couple of minutes away from pulling off an upset against a team that was, what, top seven at the time? And then they lose, okay, and then Texas A&M really doesn't move. I think they moved up or down one spot. So you're thinking, well, college football respects the Buffs. They don't think that that was a bad near loss for Texas A&M. Then after that, you go up against Minnesota, and you get shut out 30-0. There's no offense there. Record low for the Colorado Buffaloes. Brendan Lewis is not looking good. Then you fast forward to the next week, and it got a little better, but not much against ASU. I mean, not much. But there must be something going on with Drew Carter where Coach Carl Durrell really must not trust him going in at this stage. So the offensive struggles have just been so bad. CU scored more than one touchdown in a game just once. That was the opening win over UNC, which they struggled against UNC for the most part. Was it 14? It was 14-0, right, at halftime? Is that right? The run game's been pretty good. They just cannot pass. They've only passed the 100-yard mark once, and that was 102 yards against the Bears. They barely threw it. But then you have the Trojans on that side of it, and they gave up 42 points in week two to Stanford. Oregon State just absolutely throttled their defense and scored 45 points in that loss last week. So CU's defense is good. Can they keep them in the game? I think they turn it around. I think the offense turns it around a little bit. I'll give you my picks, but I think they get better. But they have to. The defense has to carry them. So CU, USC, big one coming up this week. Meanwhile, the UNC Bears going to Montana State this weekend. Montana State's good. You know, they have a really good defense, but more importantly, this team can run the ball. They are the number one team in the Big Sky Conference at running the football. 829 yards so far with five touchdowns. They average about 207 yards per game. Only Idaho in the conference averages in the 200s. So this team will put the ball in their running back's hands, and they're just going to go to town. They're going to go to town, and that's the thing. You look at UNC, though, their defense, so it's kind of like we have the opposites going up against each other. You know, on the rushing side, Montana State's number one. Defensively, you know, UNC's in that, you know, they're better against the pass. But I think they're number one or number two in against the pass. The rush, yeah, teams are running against the Bears. But maybe the Bears let them run that. You know, teams are going to run a heck of a lot more against them because they just know they can't air it out against Northern Colorado. A lot of attempts against this team. But you make no mistake about it, that's where Montana State's going to look to try to make their money this weekend. That's how they're going to try to beat this Bears team. You know, you look at Isaiah Fance. This guy's ran for 502 yards. Their quarterback can run, too. Matthew McKay, he has 905 passing yards, but also 153 rushing yards as well. So it's a solid offense. It's doing some pretty big things here. And they were picked, I think, the beginning of the season to finish in that top four. Right now, the standings have them at number four with the Bears at number five. Again, one conference came in. It's unfair to really go too crazy there. But tell you what, if the Bears could pull off this upset, they're going to move up those up the ranks, and you would be very shocked at beating Northern Arizona and Montana State, both teams picked to finish well above the Bears. In fact, everybody was picked to finish above the Bears on the coaches poll. The media poll has the Bears had the Bears at second to last. So UNC's coming into this one with a 2-2 record, a lot of optimism surrounding the Bears. They have the pretty much a top defense at this stage. I think number two in the conference. So you think that this group can go up to Montana State, pull off a major upset? You be that crazy. It's not that far-fetched that UNC can go do something, you know, overall and shock Montana State and pull off this W. But we'll get to picks later, 29 minutes after the hour. Before we break, do want to thank one of our excellent sponsors, and that's Mosier Funeral and Cremation Service. Their number is 970-330-6824. Mosier Funeral and Cremation Service. They're the only family-owned and operated funeral home in the Greeley-Evans area. So let the Mosier family help you through such a very difficult, such a very tough time, the toughest of times. Their motto is live well. Do your thing, but plan ahead. Give Scott Robin, a member of their great staff, a call today. Talk to them about pre-planning. Their website is MosierFuneralService.com, M-O-S-E-R, FuneralService.com. All right, 30 minutes after the hour, more Broncos, Ravens talk. The other thing we're talking a lot about Teddy Bridgewater, talking a lot about what this defense is all about. The pressure is definitely on the wide receiver core, and not just the receiving core in general. Noah Fant, where are you on a consistent basis? Let's talk about it next. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary. Weekday afternoons at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour, Bama Bear says big game for the Bears tomorrow. I think the offense clicks and makes a statement in Big Sky play. Boy, then you'd really start talking about this team. They could start 2-0 in the Big Sky. He likes the Bears to win 28-24. Get your picks in. Buffs, between the Buffs game, the Bears game, and the Broncos game. No CSU game. I'm sitting at 8-6 right now on my local picks. I'm feeling all right about that. We need a big week, though. We want to start pulling away from that 500 mark a little bit more. My national picks? Yikes. I pick one NFL game every week and one college game every week. I'm sitting at 1-7. 1-7, Colbs. Thursday night, specials, 1-3. Maybe I'll just stick to local. I got to do something, man. I got to fix it. You're liking the Broncos this week.
I am. Even with Lamar there, that doesn't scare me.
Yeah, with Lamar, if he was out, which he's good to go, yeah. It looks like, I would have easily, and give you official, I easily take the Broncos. Because, I mean, they will go the way Lamar Jackson goes. Do you think that that defense is better than some of what we've seen, some of what their numbers have shown for Baltimore overall? But it's going to be a battle. But that crowd's going to be going nuts, man. 3-0, loving Teddy Bridgewater. You're loving what this team's about right now. That crowd will absolutely be going crazy, though. Baltimore will have to contend with that. I say that when I look at this, you know, as far as guys that I'm just shocked haven't really stepped up yet, just through three games. And again, not everybody can be a monster out there. And you were at the beginning of the season, you had a lot of weapons. We've been dwindling every single week. But, I mean, you look at the rushing stats so far for Denver. You got Melvin Gordon with about 200 yards. You need a little bit more. He's averaging 64 yards per game. Javonte Williams, being the rookie, is averaging 46 yards per game. So they're not bad. It's not. But, again, you want a guy that can you get a guy that could be more of a bell cow? They're splitting carries right down the middle, man. Melvin Gordon at 42, Javonte Williams at 39. So one of those guys you'd like to see take off. And again, part of our Power to Play Sports poll question is who's more of a priority for the Broncos to think about re-signing long-term? Melvin Gordon's not getting any of the votes. Tell you what, he breaks off a couple of monster games, against teams like Baltimore and Pittsburgh, maybe you're having a different discussion. That's our Power to Play Sports poll question. Who's the biggest priority for the Broncos when it comes to a long-term contract? Von Miller, Cortland Sutton, Tim Patrick, Teddy Bridgewater, or Melvin Gordon? Von Miller's winning the votes. I think Cortland Sutton, to me, right now, edges him out. Guy that I need to step up, though, is Noah Fant. Now, he has 12 receptions for 110 yards. He does have a touchdown, but I get the sense sometimes that Albert O is just as likely to get receptions from Teddy throwing to him. So Noah Fant was the guy you drafted in the first round a couple of seasons ago. You passed on some really talented players, and you moved, you traded back and moved back to that 20th spot and got Noah Fant. That was the same year you got Dalton Reisner and Drew Lock. I mean, so that draft actually kind of worked out. But you need Fant to play like a first rounder. So I want to see more from him. I do think the receiving core, not just wide receivers, but the tight ends in general, yeah, there's going to be some pressure there. Because, you had to go find somebody. You had to bring somebody in. And it was a nice pick to go get Dave Moore, sure. But you're counting on Cortland Sutton. You're counting on Tim Patrick. Sutton sitting at 15 receptions for 210 yards. No touchdowns yet for Sutton. Tim Patrick, meanwhile, with 12 receptions, 174 yards, and two touchdowns on this young season. I think those guys will have to be pretty important early on in this one against Baltimore. Like I said, more of a middle-of-the-road type team. And then on the defensive side of the ball, it's all looking great. But the big questions you have is, like, when do you really start feeling those injuries? You didn't feel them against craptastic teams like the Jets. But you will feel that depth, or lack thereof, against better football teams like the Baltimore Ravens. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Give me your predictions. Give me your thoughts on some of the locals. Noob's got his picks in. USC 31, CU 17. Ouch. UNC 21, Montana State 20. There you go. Oh, you throw an Air Force in there. Throw an Air Force in there. That's not part of the big. That's not part of the big three this week, Noob. They're out of our listening range. Air Force, New Mexico, 41-21. All right, I'll give you the. I'll read it for you. Denver 31, Baltimore 17. Is that where you're going with this score, Colbs? You think it's going to be a tight one?
It might be like 21-17.
Kind of Broncos. A defensive battle.
Yeah,
I could definitely see it being a slow, kind of defensive-minded type game, yeah. For sure. Give me your picks. 888-530-0043. Mysterio, I think the Broncos and Bears both lose this weekend. Montana State's pretty good. They're 3-1, and their only loss was to Wyoming. And the question I have there is, how good is Wyoming? They're 4-0, but they played the worst teams. And I'm not saying Montana State's a worst team, but certainly as far as classification, you go FBS, FCS. Wyoming only beat them by 3. But I'm very skeptical about the Cowboys as I think they're off this weekend, but as they approach Mountain West Conference play. But I could see Montana State being a very difficult battle for the Bears. They have to get their offense going, because a lot is discussed about Dylan McCaffrey, which Dylan's good. And I really saw that against the CU game. He can chip away. He really does a good job of going through his progressions. You're waiting for those big chunk plays, though, for the Bears, where that offense looks like it's coming easy to them. And I don't know that it does this weekend necessarily, because I think Montana State's defense is pretty salty. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Let me know what your thoughts are on the Buffs and USC this weekend, the Bears going to Montana State, and the Broncos taking on the Baltimore Ravens. Do you start getting to the point where If Noob, good call. If you're listening on the TuneIn app, you can listen to you talk about Air Force all over the country. It's true. He got me there. We'll take a poll. Should we start talking more Air Force? No, it's not that I don't like Air Force. I like talking Air Force. You know I love talking about running the football. Nobody does it better than Air Force. We just don't have a lot of Air Force fans that listen to this show on a daily basis. Maybe I'm wrong. I've had people complain about our lack of Wyoming Cowboys coverage, too. So yeah, seriously. It's like we're in Colorado. Eastside Chris, is Noob hitting the pipe? Broncos 27, Ravens 21. It's close to what Noob has. It's not that far away. Brady, what's with Noobs? He must be hitting the pipe again. Locke would have been 4-0 in these first three games. All right. Do you think the Broncos would be undefeated with Drew Locke?
I don't think so.
He probably would have had more turnovers at this stage, right? Yeah. I would imagine. Maybe bigger numbers passing, but Teddy has been pretty flawless, man. No picks. 4 touchdowns. 827 yards. His completion percentage, I think Lamar Jackson's is getting up there, 60%, 60.1. Teddy's completing 76%. 77 almost, if you want to round up. 77% of his passes. You got to think that slows down, but boy, if that doesn't, you're signing this guy to a 5-year deal. And he's your franchise quarterback suddenly. In his 9th year, he becomes a franchise quarterback for the Broncos. Like, talk about a second chance. And the Broncos will have proved to do it again via free agency. In a very roundabout way, they've got there. So this is such a fun moment for him. Whether you were Team Drew Locke or Team Teddy Bridgewater, you're Team Broncos. And now going forward, you're looking at this guy saying, all right, Teddy, do it again. Do it again. Start this season 4-0 and really take the pressure off this team going forward. You beat Baltimore on Sunday. You suddenly have an NFL nation following suddenly saying, are the Broncos for real? Because Baltimore, however you want to say it, they're not Kansas City. They're not Buffalo, maybe. Yeah, Buffalo, see. But they're right there. They're one of the teams that you said could win a Super Bowl this year. They're one of them. You may not have picked them, but they're a contender. And they're still a contender. But you find a way to upset Baltimore, then, boy, now we're talking. 46 minutes after the hour. All right, enough messing around. We'll get to my picks coming up here in just a moment. Local picks right around the corner. You don't want to miss this. I'm 8-6. 8-6 is respectable. I need to be better. I got to be better than that. So we'll see how we do on the other side. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Football Friday continues. Picks are coming up next.
Northern Colorado's voice and your home for the Denver Broncos is 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Prep Sports and the UNC Bears are on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
12:51 the time. Welcome back to the show. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, and this is the time, Colfax. This is what everybody looks forward to each and every week. My local picks, and let's do it, shall we? Let's get after it. Just posting it up on social media. So if you want to beat me to the punch, you can follow us at the whole show or me on Twitter at whole show. Right? All right, let's look at it first. The UNC Bears on the road taking on a very tough-minded Montana State team. They have a great running back. But the UNC Bears defense is pretty darn good. They've kept them alive in games all season long. In fact, they kept them in that Buffs game. I don't care what you want to say about CU. It's a Pac-12 team going up against a Bears team that you know, before the McCaffrey era began, was used to just winning a couple of games per season. Can the Bears do it? I do. I like the Bears to win. I'm going to go with UNC to beat Montana State this weekend. I don't go with scores. I know the Bears are dogs in this one, so if you take the points, there you go. You're welcome. I like the Bears. The Buffs at home against USC. Blood is in the water in Boulder. USC has some issues. I like the Buffs' defense, though. This has been a tough one. I've been going back and forth with this one all week. A couple of guys we've been talking to, Brian Howell, Mark Johnson, said maybe this offense can get it going. Maybe they find a way. They got it going a little bit last week. Do they keep that up? I like the Buffs to win. I'm taking the Buffs over USC. No Colorado State Rams this weekend. They are off due to the bye week. They'll get back at it next week, next Saturday, for their homecoming game against San Jose State. So we don't have to worry about that pick. Broncos, Ravens. Colfax loves the Broncos in this game. You like the Broncos in this game. It's close. I think the Broncos are now 1-point dogs. Something has changed over the last couple of days. Lamar Jackson is playing. This has been a very tough one for me. Now, I originally picked when we did our way too early picks that don't make any sense, that you shouldn't hold everybody the fire for. Those are just crazy predictions. I did pick the Broncos to lose to Baltimore. Pretty sure, right? 3-1. I had them started on the season. 3-1. I have had a difficult task in picking this one. I got the Ravens winning. I got the Ravens winning this game this weekend. When I saw the thing about Lamar, I thought, okay, there we go. The Broncos are going to make it easy on me this weekend. But I'm going with the Baltimore Ravens to win, and the Broncos' undefeated streak ends. Hey, I hope I'm wrong on this one. I don't hope I'm wrong a lot, but when I pick our local teams to lose, I definitely hope I'm wrong. So there you go. I like the Broncos to lose to the Ravens. I like CU to beat USC. I like UNC to beat Montana State. There you go. Mysterio says, I think defense will win the Broncos-Ravens game. Whose D is better? I think the Broncos' defense is better. I just think Lamar Jackson maybe puts a little bit of a dent in that this weekend. What do you think? I posted them up. Check them out. Let me know. Those are the picks. That's going to do it for us. Have a wonderful Friday. We got the Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary coming up this afternoon. We've got high school football. Coverage begins at 6 o'clock. Clark Johnson takes the field. 6:30, game time, 7 o'clock. So, man, it's a fun Friday. That's going to do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.